Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we continue to read our Suffer Well devotional series here every single day. And today we're going to be reading one that's called Death of the Upright. And it's time we're honest with ourselves and we understood from a scriptural standpoint certain things. And I'm going to read this devotional and then we're going to discuss it. But I want people to really ponder these things that I'm saying here as we read. And then as we get into this teaching today, this is a very important message. So we're going to start reading right now this devotional here. And it says, Balaam understood that even if it required death to partake in the promises of Israel, it was an inheritance to be coveted. Who can count Jacob's descendants as numerous as the dust? Who can count even a fourth of Israel's people? Let me die like the upright. Let my life end like theirs. And that's Numbers 23 verse 10. Numbers 23 verse 10. Balaam recognized that those who were chosen to become heirs to the name of Israel were inheriting something greater than land. He was seeing the internal. It was not through the law that Abraham and his descendants received the promises that he would be a heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith, Romans 4:13. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of the Almighty, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed, Romans 9:6-8. Who are the children of the promise? Who then is Israel? Israel. One who prevails with or overcomes with the Mighty One. What a legacy. Balaam was seeing with prophetic eyes, not just natural eyes. It was more than worldly protection that inspired him. It was the promise of their everlasting inheritance. Yes, what Balaam saw in the prophetic was the inheritance of those who would walk with Yahweh through the shed blood of Yeshua, and he claimed that he would gladly die for it. Let me die like the upright. Let my life end like theirs. Can you imagine? It was as if he could have professed, for I died and my life is now hidden with Messiah in the Mighty One. Colossians 3 verse 3. Israel was protected and supernaturally guided people who had a destiny to be envied. They were blessed coming in and blessed going out, Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. Balaam declared, there is a people that dwells apart, not reckoned among the nations, Numbers 23, verse 9. Yes, they are a people raised so high that they are not to be counted among the Gentiles. They are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the Almighty's special possession, that they may declare the praise of him who called them out of the darkness into the wonderful light, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And that means you. Is your heart stirred like Balaam's? Are you excited about your inheritance as Balaam's was of it? Are you walking in the fullness and gratitude that you should be when given such spectacular gift, willing to die for it? Be honest. If you know you have diminished appreciation for what was offered to you by the shed blood of Yeshua, perhaps you might come naked and before the Father. Perhaps you might seek forgiveness for living as a pauper when you really have a royal holy priesthood coursing you in your veins. Or perhaps you are in danger of forfeiting your inherited identity because you, like Balaam, only claim a willingness to die for it, yet resist the actual death necessary to attain it. Balaam's words and the true intent of his heart never merged as one, and this was a curse unto him. Deuteronomy 23:5 and Jude 1:11 and Revelation 2:14 speaks about that. The journey to riches begins in the mind. Take some time today to contemplate your inheritance. You must first believe that you are royalty to become royalty. And royalty implies rulership. Yahweh requires much from his rulers. From everyone who has been given, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Luke 12:48. Rulers must also understand that they are called to worship in the valleys just as on the mountaintops. Embrace your inheritance like Solomon's prayer. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who are able to govern this great people of yours? 2 Chronicles 1:10. Then take your rightful portion and rejoice in it. Rejoice, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's where we find ourselves today with this important understanding that as we read here in Luke 12, verse 48, but someone who does not know and does not do something wrong, it will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And I tell you today that we have been entrusted with much, and much is required. We are his holy set apart people, and he's given us holy set apart things. But much is required for us to receive these things, this wonderful thing. And we look at this and look at the way we're supposed to act and the amazing things we've given us. And I ask yourself, number one, do you understand? Number two, do you appreciate? And number three is, do you respond? Understand, appreciate, and respond. These are the three things we need to focus on. We are called to be a set apart people. Set apart means holy. He's called us and he's chosen us. And that's not just one particular person from a particular part of the world. Every single one of us has the opportunity to fulfill the destiny that our creator has for us. In the scripture, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. The real meaning behind that is many are called, but few choose. What choice will you make? It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. For you are royal priests, a holy nation, Yahweh's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of Yahweh, for he called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. Again, this wasn't just for a certain people at a certain time. This is for you. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2 says, you have been set apart as holy to Yahweh. And just like you're holy, remember with the talents, he's given you more. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Revelations 18:4 says, then I heard another voice from the heavens say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so you will not receive any of her plagues. We must believe, understand, and respond to the call. Psalms 4 verse 3 says, you can be sure of this, Yahweh set apart the godly for himself. Yahweh will answer when they call to him. We must understand that. We must get this. 1 John 4, verse 4 and 5 says, but you belong to Yahweh, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. And we think about that. The world listens to the world, not the righteous. Scriptures say the righteous will suffer. Are you suffering, or is the world in agreement with what you're saying and listening to you? The scriptures show us the world listens to the world. They're going to ignore you. They're going to persecute you for Yeshua. We have these patterns that are set and these marks or these responses that are going to show us where we truly are with our creator. It says we will suffer for him. Are you suffering, or the world? Does the world love your words? Think about these things. 2 Corinthians 6:17 calls us to come among the unbelievers and separate ourselves, not only being set apart from Yahweh as he set us apart, but literally being set apart and not to touch the filthy things of this world. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, we all have this promise. Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and the spirit, physical and spiritual things, bringing holiness and completion in the awe of our wonderful Creator, the thankfulness we give Him. We're called in the Scriptures to conform to the mind of Yeshua. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to know what Yahweh's will is, His pleasing and perfect will. And we'll be able to think only about the things in heaven and not the things here on earth that are pulling us back and holding us back. We have to separate ourselves from amongst the people that refuse to make the choice to walk the narrow path and not choose what they have choose. We must separate ourselves. The narrow path with the light He's given us of this Scripture. We cannot serve two. We can only serve one. And we must make that choice. We're made new in Yeshua, and we must know that with confidence. It says, Colossians 3:10, and you now become a new person. The new person is continually renewed in knowledge to be like its Creator. Therefore, if any man be in Yeshua, he is a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Your old self is done away with, as it says in Galatians 2. You're a new creature. And that new creature focuses on the things of Yahweh. On the things of Yahweh. Do not follow the way of the wicked. The Bible calls us to be imitators of Yahweh as beloved children. Ephesians 5:1. We have to remember this. When you've reached that place, you know, the Scriptures say He will reveal to us these things. The unbelievers, the sinners listen to the sinners. When you reach that place, the world will hate you, as it says. It says in John 15:18 to 19, the world hates you. Remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you're no longer part of this world because I chose you to come out of this world. So it hates you. When you come out of Babylon, the world will hate you. Hate you. It says hate. It doesn't say dislike. It says hate. 1 Peter 4:4 says, of course your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of the wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. If you don't think they're talking behind your back, guess again. It says in a word they hate you, and Yahweh is not a liar. And they have a choice to come join you or to continue to hate you. Now you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world that spreads in that darkness. But it says in the Scriptures also in John 14:23 and 24, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own, but my Father who sent me. Do you understand? Disobedience is sin. You're either with the sinners or you're not. They either love you and rejoice with you or they despise you. There's no neutrality with our Creator and the things He creates. This world will hate you. And that's a wonderful compliment to know, a reassurance to know. For when somebody calls me a legalist for following the words of our Creator, it's a wonderful compliment that I'm following it so well and they realized it. You know, when somebody hates you, take it as a compliment that you're doing the right thing. It's when they love you, you need to question. If a sinner loves you, if a sinner is enjoying your company, you need to question where your heart truly is and what you're truly doing. We need to understand this. Now, if they repent and they join you, that's a whole nother story, but they're no longer a sinner. You have to understand the world hates us because we are no longer part of this world. A new creation, a new world, a new place. But when we follow Yeshua, and I experienced this firsthand, the world hates us because they hated Him. Remember when He came, there were many people that rejected Him. Many, a lot more than that accepted Him. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It says in Romans 1:29, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break the promises of the heartless, and have no mercy. John 15:21 says they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They hated him without cause, as it says in scripture. The darkness hates light. The darkness hates light. And the sinners hate the truth. You know, but this is it. You know, we have a mission and the world will hate us because of our mission. We have a goal. And the more he gives, the more responsible we are. He's given us this great opportunity. If we've accepted to live a set apart life, we are his holy priest. And we must accept that and be willing to die for him because they want to kill us. We understand something even more important. More important that we're going to discuss right now. Even more important. We're going to discuss something right now that many people don't want to discuss, and it's the death penalty. And what the scriptures say about that. Because when I tell people in this world that the death penalty is something that is in scripture, they say, but we shall not kill, we shall not kill. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we shall not murder. What it says in a death penalty, it says all over the scriptures, if a person does something, he shall surely be put to death. You see, there were 613 guidelines and instructions or commandments. Some of them what to do, some of them what not to do. But the death penalty was for some of them. Exodus 21:12, he that smiteth a man so that he will die and shall surely be put to death. A murderer must be put to death, as it says all throughout the Torah. A murderer must be put to death. It didn't say somebody who kills must be put to death, but thou shalt not murder, and a murderer will be put to death. Anyone who kills a person must be put to death, as a murderer only is testimonial of the witness. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. All these scriptures that talk about what defiles the death penalty or not. And it's not man-made system today that will tell somebody on a false witness or a false testimonial of the death penalty. It's taken to a whole different level today, and it's created a problem. If everyone was honest, there wouldn't be innocent people in jail. But unfortunately, people aren't honest because they're chosen the side of sin in this world, and they chose to worship money and everything else instead of our Creator. But Yahweh's justice comes true. But the death penalty is true, and the death penalty is real. And we could think, well, we don't deserve the death penalty because we're so good. We're so good. Well, in the scripture, it also says, if you break the Sabbath, the death penalty. And there's so many other things. So Yeshua came, the one they called Jesus, not to lower the bar, but to raise the bar. Not if you're committing adultery, but if you even think about committing adultery. Not if you kill someone, but if you even hate your brother, it's just as good as killing them. We think about these things. And as we sit there in our innocence saying, but we're good, we don't deserve that. And we ask you, have you ever in your life done something to deserve this death penalty? Have you ever said Yahweh's name in vain? Have you ever hated something or someone? Have you ever had sexual relations against the guidelines of the scriptures? Have you ever stolen everything, lied about anything? Guess what? Guess what? We all deserve this death penalty. We all deserved it. We all deserved it. Some people say, oh, well, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Yes, the Bible says that if we've made and done something wrong by accident or without thinking about it, it says the consequences won't be as severe. But then go ahead and nobody murders by accident. You understand? We know the things we're doing. We got to be honest with ourselves. The Bible says to know good and not do it to him it is sin. Well, if you're reading the word, you know what is good. To know good and not do it to him is sin. And when we say we have no sin, we make Yahweh a liar. We make Yahweh a liar. Because we have sin. Because we're not perfect. Then that's the reality. We're not perfect, and we fall short every single day. But there is one who is perfect. And only when we realize that, and realize that we do struggle with sin, and realize that it is a daily struggle that we have to go through, and we could have a new circumcised taught and be made new again in him. Only when we realize this. And even though we were called to be set apart, we still struggle with sin. We're not perfect. Like the world thinks we can be made perfect. No, we strive to be perfect. But we understand, and only then can we understand Yahweh's wonderful mercy that he's given us through Yeshua. Only can we appreciate. Remember we said understand, appreciate, and act? Only when we appreciate and have thankfulness can we understand the wonderful grace that he's bestowed amongst us. Because we deserve far worse than we've been given. But because of his great love for us, Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Yeshua. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by your grace you have been saved. Wow. Wow. So we show where we are. The Holy Spirit will give us this great gift of conviction. And we come to the truth of no. You know, that we deserve the death penalty. We deserve it. But Yahweh gave us Yeshua to die for us, that we would have a circumcised heart and become new in him and imitate him and strive to be like him and to get on the right path and to use his word as a light as it is in its darkness. And he's given us Yeshua to guide us and to show us. And all our hope needs to be in Yeshua. All our hope. Because without him, we're getting a death penalty. Not by man, but by Yahweh. By Yahweh. By Yahweh. And the Holy Spirit, Yahweh, will convict us through it. And prayerfully will change and come to him. And understand the great mercy that he's given us. We must never give up. Never give up. Remember, the world will hate you once you change. The world will hate you, but be strong and never give up. Be of good courage. So he strengthened your heart. It's not going to be an easy walk when everywhere you go, the world's going to hate you. Psalms 31:24. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Understand the consequences. The consequences. And we go all the way back to what we started with today. All the way back to Luke 12:48. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong, he will be punished only lightly. When someone has been giving much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And you know what that means? That means if you didn't know, if you didn't know something, you're still going to suffer the consequences, but it's not going to be as severe. But when you know something, and then you go against it, it's going to be much more severe. And it also means, of the reality of Scripture, that this world will hate you. The sinners of this world will literally hate you. I don't care about them putting on their nice face and their nice trickery and they like you. A sinner does not enjoy a righteous person's company. They just don't. And they're talking gossip about you. They're trying to plant curses on you. They don't enjoy it. They either come to it or they hate you. That's it. And now much has been given to you, and you're walking around the world where people hate you. They hate you. But some of them are going to come see the light through you, and Yahweh's going to use them, and all the glory be to him. But we must be strong and be on the alert, because we are set apart now. And just because they hate us, what they do doesn't matter. You know, because we can do everything through Yeshua. We have Yeshua. We have his great mercy. And we must adjust our thinking in life instead of trying to be a people pleaser and trying to please people that hate us. We need to remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Let him direct your path. Forever and ever, we need to trust him and Yeshua and the great thing he's given us. Never give up. Never give up. Remember the story of Job. Remember the story of Daniel. Remember the story of Yeshua, who they hated so much to death. And we must die to ourselves and be willing to rise again and to rise with Yeshua. There are going to be trials in our life. They're not going away, the trials in our life. But as it says in James 1, 2, and 4, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16-18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light at the momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs all of them. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Remember these things. Remember these things when they hate you. Remember these things when you become start living a righteous life and the people don't understand. It's just begun. The work in him has just begun, and it's going to get better and better. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in one day, the day of Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah. And he's coming. He's coming. So as we read this devotional today, and as we're willing to die to ourselves, and we understand we've been chosen for the highest position, a royal priesthood, we've been chosen. And as it says in the book of Joshua, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They've forgotten me, so they can no longer be priests for me. They've forgotten my Torah, my guidelines and instructions, so not only will they suffer, but their children will suffer. Well, we can understand the lack of knowledge means lack of understanding of my word. But when you read his word, you understand his word. And that part, that's not for you. That's not for you. Don't be destroyed for lack of knowledge of who he is. Know who he is. Know what he's given us and know what he wants. And we can be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray that everyone today would, your heart would line up with your actions. And you would not be like Balaam. And say one thing with your lips, but your heart will really do something else, or your intent would do something else, that they would line up together and you'd be one and you'd be devoted to him this day and always. And you won't get discouraged. You won't get dismayed. You won't be scared. You're not fear of man. You'll just be in awe of our Creator, and you'll have the joy that he tells us to experience. Remember, you are chosen, and this is the day Yahweh has chosen. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. And you can see more teachings like this at my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. So please go there and check it out. And you can support this ministry through there as well, or through our Patreon page, patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Yahweh be with you all, and have a blessed day, and shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 334. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
I'm Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. Our current sermon series is entitled Balance. If you feel like your life is out of balance, you need to find the right life balance. Join us for worship Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday 9 or 11 a.m. or online at thegraceplace.com/watch. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stuart, Florida. You can call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
Well, it's been real nice living way up here in paradise over the atmosphere. But I can't stay long, gotta make my way. I'm leaving heaven today. You see, the world is dark and it needs a light. I'm gonna hang a star in the eastern sky. So everybody's gonna know where I touch down. I'm leaving heaven right now.